Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program with Dr. Ann. And I know you're saying, oh, what is she doing? Changing the day and the time. You know, change is always good. Change is always good. So we adjust to change. And one of the old sayings is that the only thing that is constant in this world is change. Well, today we have a marvelous and fantastic guest, and his name is G.P. Walsh. And let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Walsh. You know, he is a wonderful spiritual teacher. He is an EFT expert, and he'll talk about that. And I'm quite sure some of you know about tapping. And he is a master coach. But most of all, his passion is around the law of attraction, which we're going to talk about. Oh, how usual. We're being on the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and we are going to talk about the law of attraction and how it really helps you to attract that joy of living a wealthy life. And GP,
yes,
are you
ma'am.
There?
I am. Hi, Dr. Ann.
How you doing this morning?
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. What else would you like to tell the listening audience about you? I just gave them the real, real reader's primary digest of who you are, but I know there's so much more to you than what I just said. What else would you like to let them know about you?
Well, my goodness, I have been doing this a long time. I mean, I started coaching people back in like the 70s. Before they even used the word coaching, before there was the, you know, experiential type of, before the whole consciousness thing even got started, you know, before
Wayne
Dyer, Deepak Chopra, before even the Course in Miracles had been written, I was very interested in this stuff from a very young age, and just always was drawn to it. I just always had a spiritual curiosity and a hunger that had that caused me to study pretty much all the various kinds of traditions and practices and learn meditation. I'm also a master meditation teacher. So, you know, this has been a life's work for me. And I've just been so overjoyed to see how the world has been gradually waking up and becoming increasingly conscious and increasingly receptive to this message that you really can be, do, and have everything you want to be, do, and have. You really can do it. It requires training, it requires skill, it requires patience, persistence, like anything else. It isn't magic. There's a law to it, there's a way to go about it. But if you're diligent and persistent and focused and committed, you can make it happen. It's a fact.
So there's no magic wand that we can, you know, get and just wave it over our heads and say, insto presto. Abracadabra.
No, there isn't. And, you know, that's a lot of the way, times the way the law of attraction is taught, they make it seem that way. But, you know, the law of attraction is a modern term that got coined for us. I mean, this kind of knowledge that the universe could, in fact, be molded to your desires has been around for thousands and thousands of years. This is, you know, and in a lot of traditions, it was regarded as the secret. It was secret teachings, not because they were trying to withhold it, but because it takes preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to develop your character. You actually have to know what you want, and not just what you think you want. You have to actually get in touch with yourself. There's a process for knowing yourself, so that when you really come across something that is a deep desire in you, it's real. It's a real desire. It's not a phony one. It's not one that you were taught you're supposed to have. It's one that's genuinely within you. And that's what taps into the power. And that takes training. That takes process. That takes learning. And it does feel like magic. It does feel miraculous because when you connect to who you are, life becomes effortless. And so it does feel quite magic.
Wow. That reminds me of a story I was told. And it's about this man. And he went into a restaurant, you know, a little bar-type restaurant. And in came, you know, he came with an ostrich. Have you heard this story?
No, I have not.
Well, let me tell you about this man. So he came in with this tall ostrich, you know, beautiful, tall ostrich, and they were sitting at the bar, and the waiter asked him, "What do you want?" And he says, "Well, you know, I think today I want a hamburger and fries and a Coke." And then he asked the ostrich, "What do you want?" And the ostrich says, "Same." So he brought it out to both of them, and then he presented them with the bill, which was $9.26. And he reached in his pocket, and voila, he had $9.26. So the next day, he came again. Same thing happened. He reached in his pocket, and he had $9.26. Well, the next day he came, and he switched up on his order, and he said, "Well, you know, today I think I want a steak dinner with steak fries and Caesar salad and everything." And asked the ostrich, "What do you want?" He said, "Same." And presented him with the same thing that the man had ordered, okay? And so he reached in his pocket, came up with $19.63, because it was, you know, a steak dinner this time. So the waiter was kind of perplexed and curious about, every time you come in, you order the same thing, and you seem to have the exact amount of money. So how do you do this? How do you always come up with the exact change and in your pocket? So the man said, "Well, this is what happened. Several years ago, I was cleaning out the attic and found an old, you know, lamp, like Aladdin's lamp. And when I rubbed it, a genie appeared and offered me two wishes. My first wish was that I would have whatever, you know, the money to pay for whatever I wanted, exact change, in my pocket." And the waiter said, "Oh, that's so brilliant. Oh, man, that's brilliant." He said, "Most people would ask for $1 million or something, but you always seem, you know, you will always be rich as you want for as long as you live." He said, "That's right. Whether it's a gallon of milk or Rolls Royce, I will always have the exact money in my pocket." So the waitress said, "Well, what's that, the ostrich?" And the man, you see where this is going? He said, "Well, my second wish was that for a tall chick with long legs who agrees with everything I say." Pada-boom, bomb. So the law of attraction, darling, is that you have to know what you want. Isn't that what you just told me?
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Yes. And knowing what you want is a process. You know, because we've all been conditioned as children out of what we want. You know, we've been told what we're supposed to want, what we should have. And so when the law of attraction isn't working in your life, it's not that it doesn't work. It's not that it's totally obedient, not totally obedient to you. It's just that what you're wanting isn't what you really want.
Yeah,
and that's
but
the need.
So is that difficult to do? You know, to get into that place of knowingness, I would say knowingness, and then what you would call allowing it to happen.
Yes, it can be difficult. I don't like to shortchange this. I mean, obviously, you know, your natural desires are your natural desires. But, you know, when you're a kid, if you express your natural desires and you get smacked, you learn very quickly to shut those up, and to the point where you'll actually even forget you have them. And you even feel uncomfortable when your natural desires come up because you're expecting to get smacked. I mean, it's just part of the programming in the system. That's what makes it difficult. It's not difficult to be who you are, but it's often difficult to own who you are because of these patterns of behavior that's gotten put into place. So it takes courage to be willing to question our assumptions, to be willing to actually go within, to make friends with our inner world, to actually honor our own feelings, let them move, let them have expression, so you can begin to sort out that which is really you and that which isn't. And in the beginning, you can't tell the difference.
No?
It's very difficult to tell the difference. No, because you don't know, is this really me or is this not really me? Is this what I've been taught to do or is this who I actually am? It's one of I love the story in the Bible of the chaff and the wheat, where the tares and the wheat, I'm sorry, that were sowed in the field. And the tare is a weed, and of course the wheat is the food. And so the master of the house is asked, what do we do? Should we pull up the tares? Should we pull up the wheat? He says, no, because you're going to pull up the wheat too. Wait till the harvest, and then we'll be able to clear them out. And it's really interesting. The tare looks a great deal like the wheat. It's very difficult to tell it while it's growing, but eventually, when they mature, the wheat turns that golden color, and the tares turn kind of ugly black. Once it matures, you can tell the difference. And so, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. A lot of people on the spiritual path say, "Well, you just overcome desire." Well, no. You overcome the desires that aren't natural to you, and you amplify the ones that are.
Wow.
And in the beginning, you can't always tell the difference, and that requires you to sit with yourself, to be patient, to allow for the maturing process to take place so you can tell the difference. And believe me, once you tell the difference, it's a piece of cake. That one's gone. This is the direction I move in. But that takes patience, it takes work, it takes some training, it takes learning how to look within, it takes honoring your feelings. You can't reject any feeling because you don't know that in the first place whether that is the real feeling for you or it's an artificial one. And the only way to know is to get closer, to move towards them, so that you can actually see. So that really means you're just really, loving yourself. Really loving yourself, honoring everything that's going on.
So, G, do you mind me calling you G?
I love it, actually.
I think it's cool. Okay, G. All right. So, you said that we have to get closer to ourselves. We have to love ourselves. So, with the various techniques that you are proficient in, do you teach your clients and your listeners and things, these techniques, in order to be quiet, be still, and listen, and to be discerning of the wheat and the tares?
Yes. The way I teach this is that there's no such thing as a negative emotion. There's only positive emotions with bad press. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Rewind that again. What do you mean? Go back.
Negative
emotions.
Emotions are neutral. Emotions are just your feelings, right? We are taught to say that's a bad emotion, that's a good one. They're not. They're neither bad nor good. They're just what you're feeling. And when that training is changed, when you actually get respect for them, regard for them, you see that every single feeling, everything going on inside you has a reason for being there. Once its reason is fulfilled, it can dissolve. It can move on to its next life. It can dissolve back into that pool of energy. Most of the time, the self-help techniques, it's not that the technique, there's something in flawed with the technique. It's just we've been so conditioned that we're broken and we have to fix ourselves. We take these techniques and we start beating up ourselves more. We're trying to force ourselves into behaviors. The way I teach it is that you don't try to force yourself to do different behavior. You use the technique to give permission to yourself to let whatever is there be there. let it show itself for what it really is. Once it does that, its job is done. And it's just,
for instance, G, if a person has guilt or resentment or anger, what would you tell that person?
It's hard to speak in generalities because it all means different things to different people. But usually anger, something like anger, is a pattern of behavior we've gotten into to protect ourselves from a feeling of vulnerability and powerlessness that is underneath that. So if you let yourself feel the anger, and I mean feel it. I don't mean express it. I don't mean go running out yelling at people. But if the anger is there and you're feeling it, if you don't try to suppress it, if instead you turn towards it and walk towards it and say, tell me what you're angry about, the anger will expand and begin to show you. And then you'll see that anger is actually a layer of defense against the deeper feeling of being powerless, of being diminished or ashamed. And then you can move into that feeling. And then that feeling reveals itself, and you'll see what's underneath that. And eventually, you'll get down to that pure, innocent self that you really are, that all of these things have been layered on top of. And you don't have to get rid of them. They will dissolve all by themselves. The way I like to express it is, imagine you're sitting somewhere in a park or something, and some little kid is crying and shaking, comes running up to you. You tell that little kid, oh, boy, you're in terrible shape. Like, get out of here. Whoa, go visualize. Here, read this book. Right? You're a real problem. Get out of here. You don't do that. You take the child up. You put her on your lap. You rub her hair. You rub her back. You sit there. It's okay. And it'll sit there. It won't even be able to speak. And then eventually it starts to calm down. It tells you its story. And suddenly it relaxes, and then it's off your leg and it runs off playing. That's what I'm talking about. Treat these emotions like little children that need your attention.
Yes.
They're not the enemy you have to get rid of. They're a part of you that needs your attention. Love turns towards suffering. It never runs away from it. Love seeks out suffering in order to heal it.
So what I'm interpreting here is that one of the keys to manifesting, one of the keys to actually living authentically in the law of attraction is love.
Yes. Love is the heart and soul of it all. It is the essence. It is the essence of who you are. Ultimately, it all gets down to that because love is your nature. We don't go to the law of attraction, really. I mean, when you get to that place of love, your life is so much about giving that there's no sense of lack. And of course, if there's no sense of lack, what are you going to attract into your life? Nothing but abundance. And so your life takes a complete 180. It goes from trying to get things to giving things. It goes from self-protection to self-expression. All you want to do is give. You feel so valuable, you want everybody to share in that value. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's your nature. You couldn't stop it if you wanted to.
I couldn't? Are you sure?
I'm absolutely sure. even though right now, even if your life seems to be a mess right now, the only reason you feel your life is a mess is because there's love inside of you telling you this can be better. There's a voice inside of you that is moving you to another level. It's moving you to something better. If that voice wasn't there, you'd just be where you are. You'd be like, be like an animal. Everything's just fine. I have food. I don't have food. It's, whatever. There'd be no sense of inner conflict if there wasn't something inside of you telling you, there's more.
Even in
our discomfort, is caused by love trying to move us more deeply into love.
Oh, that is an aha moment. I don't know about the rest of you all, but that is just an aha moment for me. So your discomfort is, say that again, G, because I think that is a very important statement.
Your discomfort is actually being caused by that very love trying to push you into being who you really are. It's pushing you to connect up with the essence of your soul, which is love. It's
so you're going
to rid your life of everything that doesn't reflect who you really are.
You know, the analogy that's coming straight to my mind is someone giving birth. And when you say pushing into a new reality, into that new life, it's like you are being rebirthed into a new beginning.
Absolutely. It is a new birth. And it you know, the very fact that you chose to go down this path, that you've chosen to explore the law of attraction, that you've exploring personal development or spiritual practices, what is it that motivated you to do that in the first place? We think, oh yeah, I just decided to do that. No, you didn't just decide to do that. Something inside you called you to. That something inside you is your very own soul. It's your real nature. It's who you actually are. It's calling you back to you.
Oh, I love you. I love you, G. Because this is... Everybody, let me tell you something. This is some good stuff right here. This is some good stuff. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. So... all of this, I know, you know, you have a wonderful collection of wisdom that you have gathered and learned throughout. You know, you said you've been here before, way before The Secret and everything. So you are like the guru of law of attraction. And so therefore you teach, don't you? And you have a course on allowing. And tell me about that course. I mean, it's probably exactly what you're saying now, but is it any different?
Well, yeah, it's focused specifically. It's out of, you know, just kind of we're talking about the ideas of it and inspiring people to go deeper in it. But we also need to be trained. I had just noticed that many people talk about the art of allowing. You know, allowing is part of it. And I'd hear, you know, teachers of the law of attraction say, well, you need to allow it in your life. And people would say, well, of course I'm allowing it. I want this. I'm willing to bring this into my life. And nobody was actually teaching you how to do it. So I you know, figured since I'm the one who saw that nobody was teaching how to do it, I was the one that had to do it. So, you know, when you see it, you kind of become responsible for it. So I created a course. It's an audio course. It's 7 hours long, and I guide people one step at a time through this process of learning how to allow.
Okay.
How do you actually get to the point of realizing? What we don't realize is that consciously, nobody's going to say, I'm not allowing to have more money or better relationships or more health in my life. Nobody's consciously doing that, okay? I mean, nobody in their right mind would say, I don't want more money.
Are you sure?
No. No, nobody's going to do it consciously. What we don't realize is that we have all been programmed into a state of resistance. So 5% of us is saying, yeah, I absolutely want that. And 95% very quietly is saying, oh, no, I don't. I don't want to change. I don't want anything different. And we've become so used to being in this state of resistance, we don't even know we're in it. And so what I do in the course is I gradually guide people towards discovering this inner resistance. Just the fact that, you know, anger comes up and you want to get rid of it, that's resistance.
So,
Gandhi was angry. Okay? Gandhi was angry, and he was resolute, and he was unyielding. You would call those... You wouldn't really necessarily call those positive qualities, would you? Because we see that he wasn't violent, but he was angry that his his people had been taken over, conquered by this, and he insisted that the British leave, and he would not yield. But he would not be violent. Right? Now, that's a guy. Right? So we see him as this gentle guy and all of that sort of stuff. He was far from gentle. I mean, believe me, the British didn't see him as gentle. They didn't see him as this nice little guy. Right?
You're absolutely correct.
But he channeled that anger.
Yeah.
He said that anger is, if you feel powerless, anger feels defensive. If you feel powerful, anger is a motivation to change things for the better. The very same energy, in one instance, looks negative. It's transmuted into a positive power. And so what I do in the course is I get people aware of this energy that's going on inside of them. And as you become aware of it and you let it move, it transforms right before your eyes into what it was really meant to be. Negative emotion is positive emotion that has been forced out of shape because it hasn't been free to express itself. That's all it is. There is no such thing as negative emotion. It does not exist.
Well, gee, let me tell you this. All of us probably need to take that course so that we can realize.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say this is a godsend. This is what they've it's the missing piece to actually being able to implement it on a very practical level. Because once you're in touch with your feelings, suddenly, if you're doing a vision board or any of the visualization exercises, if you notice that if you try to hold a particular image of yourself, like having a lot of money, for example, you'll find that there'll be some emotional resistance to it. Right? Now, if we don't know better, we think, oh, I got to get rid of that emotion, right, so I can vibrate at the right level. But what you actually do is move towards that emotion, and you go, oh, there's a part of me that is resisting wealth. Let me speak to it. What do you have to say? Why are you resisting wealth? Wealth makes us safer. Wealth is better. Why are you resisting it?
Wealth is
and
better,
it tells you,
yes.
And it tells you its story. There's a part of you that doesn't think it's better. And it probably has, and it has a good reason. Something happened in your life that taught you a lesson that somehow, for some reason, you shouldn't want that. It was dangerous to want that. Maybe you did something really successful and your parents diminished it. Maybe you, right? And so the system said, "Ooh, don't be too successful.
Yeah,
you're going to get thrown out."
Don't be too. Yeah. So,
right. And so that became the law operating in the system. So of course it's going to resist the picture of wealth.
So the law works whether it's positive, whether we look at it as positive or we look at it as negative.
Yeah, and it is only the way we look at it. And the way we look at it is not the way it is.
You have probably taken those rose-colored glasses off and are looking at how it really is. So we are, believe it or not, we've been having so much fun that our time is almost up. So, Jay, tell our listeners? Oh, yeah, I know. We just got started. And so that means I am inviting you to come back for part two and maybe part three of this interesting topic. But please tell our listening audience how to get in touch with you or listen to you on the radio and things like that.
Wonderful. You can learn about the course at justallowit.net. That's where the course is. I have a site about me, which is just gpwalsh.com. And then I also have a site for my show, conversationswithg.com. And you can ask questions. You can send an email to questions@conversationswithg.com, and I will answer it on the air. Or you can how to listen to me on the air is on the website as well. Those ways you can get in touch with me.
Oh, gee, this has been fun. And once we got started, it is almost time for us to end this conversation with G.
That's way too short.
I know. And you know what? I'm inviting you to come back so we can continue this conversation. And thanks, G, for being on the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ann. It's been an honor.
Thank you. And the rest of you, tune back in next week for the Joy of Wealthy Living. See ya.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Thank you for tuning into the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program with Dr. Ann Williamson. If you'd like to contact Dr. Ann, go to her website, www.myjoyenterprise.com, or email her at drann@myjoyenterprise.com. We'll see you back here next week.